Rockwired Sound in Albuquerque, New Mexico, of all places. This is Rockwired Radio Profiles with your host, Brian Lush, exclusively at rockwired.com. Today, Rockwired profiles the deep-fried southern rock sound of Sweet Kiss Mama and their debut CD, Revival Rock. Stick around for more. Rockwired Radio Profiles is a production of Rockwired Media LLC, a limited liability company. Please stand by. Welcome to another edition of Rockwired Radio Profiles, exclusively at rockwired.com. I'm your host, Brian Lush, and the music is out there. You've got a lot of different sounds out there, but that electrifying southern groove has been missing for a while. Thankfully, the Washington-based band Sweet Kiss Mama is carrying the torch that was once held by the likes of the Allman Brothers and Lynyrd Skynyrd. If you don't believe me, check out the band's new CD, Revival Rock. I had a chance to speak with Jeff Hamill of Sweet Kiss Mama about the album, and you'll hear all of that in just a few minutes. From the CD, Revival Rock, here is Sweet Kiss Mama with Ready to Go.
It's
From the CD Revival Rock, that was Sweet Kiss Mama with Ready to Go. Visit the band at their official website, www.skmband.com. I had a chance to speak with Jeff Hamill of Sweet Kiss Mama regarding the band's new album, and here's how it went. Well, the title of the CD is Revival Rock. Talk about the title of it. I mean, I've got my own ideas about what the title means, you know. I mean, you guys are going to bring back a sound that quite honestly, I haven't heard from in a while, so talk about the title.
It's funny, I feel like whenever somebody asks me about the title or about, you know, what does this lyric mean or what does that mean, it's like people are always so disappointed when they hear the truth. So I would love to hear what you think revival rock is. Is it that for you that we're reviving something?
Yeah. But now I feel like an idiot, and I'm probably wrong.
That's definitely a part of it. I think for me, revival rock is kind of a nod to where we come from. We grew up church musicians. I mean, kids in the church. I mean, they start us out young playing, piano or singing in the choirs and coming up. And so for me personally, it's that idea that the music that we're playing is kind of a, I don't want to say hopeful, like cigarose sounds and feels hopeful, but there's a definite hope in even in the most dire of of songs that we write, the most morose sounding stuff. I still feel like there's a hope to it. So, you know, it's kind of more of a way of describing kind of stylistically what we're playing, which, you know, is just as well could be called, you know, southern rock or blues based rock and roll. But revival rock for me personally, and I'm sure each of the other guys would have their own answer for you on that, but for me, it's a nod to where we come from and the idea that there's definitely always a way out of whatever's going on.
I see. And now that the CD's out there for everybody to hear, how do you feel about the end result?
I'm really proud of it. I'm really proud of it. We are self-funded 100%, so going into it, we've been, we started playing live about 2.5 years ago, I think was our first gig, and prior to that, we'd been playing for about a year, just woodshedding in my living room, playing, you know, singing, you know, songs to each other and kind of playing stuff and going through, and you know, that whole process of, you know, playing live and then, hey, the next step is this, the next step is that, and we thought, man, we've got enough songs, we should probably, you know, put an album together, and serendipitously, we were played, our first radio play was a local radio station up here, and another band that was on there was kind of similar sounding, kind of a throwback, you know, Eagles-style sounding rock and roll. And their manager sent us a message, said, hey, I've got a studio if you guys are interested. I produce all these guys out of the Lonely H, is the name of the band. I produce these guys, and I'm their manager. If you guys want to, you know, maybe look into recording with me, I've got all great retro analog gear, and actually his mixing board, his mixer, Joe Reinecke is his name, Orbit Audio is the studio, but his mixer is actually used to be owned by Duff McKagan from Guns N' Roses.
Oh, wow.
So he's got this giant, you know, Duff's fingerprints all over it, and actually Duff, also a local guy up here, said, you know, when Joe bought it, he said, you can have the board, but you've got to take the platinum album for Use Your Illusion with you. So literally, as we're recording and mixing down this album, we've got the specter of Guns N' Roses, Use Your Illusion, up there just glaring back at our face. It's pretty interesting, as we're going through it. But I'm real proud of it. I mean, again, being self-funded and really not having any sort of muscle or anything outside of just our own grit to put it together, we're just real glad to have got it done. And I tell you, we weren't didn't have a whole lot of expectation in terms of sales. We're like, well, hopefully, you know, friends and family will buy it and we'll press some and it'll get out there. But it really has caught on. I think Germany's probably half our albums that are sold now have been all over in Germany, and Italy's been a strong one for us too. And there's been some real strong European numbers for some reason, but you know, we're certainly glad anywhere anybody wants to listen, and it's certainly flattered that people care to take a listen.
And have I been the only one that's been, you know, surprised by the geography of the band?
You know, we actually went down and played during South by Southwest last year, and we played a couple in town in Austin, and played a couple kind of on the fringes out in Tyler and stuff, and heard from one bar owner, he came up to afterwards, he said, you know, you guys actually sound more southern than the bands that play here normally. I said, yeah, that's, I mean, that's, for, that blesses my heart. I don't know if he thinks that we're trying to, you know, trying to model a particular sound or mold a particular thing, but I really think for us it just comes from having played a blues-based or a gospel-style music for so long that melodically that's just what comes out when I write a song. It just follows that feel. And Aaron Arnold, our guitarist, is just an absolute virtuoso, but he's real strong Stevie Ray Vaughan fan, and so you can really hear some of his Stevie Ray Vaughan, or, you know, definitely some Lynyrd Skynyrd influences in what we're doing.
I see. And I can also imagine your sound, you know, really sticking out in your stomping grounds, does it? Or do people just go, you know, oh, well.
It's funny. We are part of a scene. We're south of Seattle by about a half hour, and that's far enough away from Seattle to where it's, you know, Tacoma's referred to up here as kind of grit city. It's kind of like maybe Chicago is to New York, kind of the second city kind of idea, where the little sister or the, you know, the redneck cousin. I don't know how they look at it, but within Tacoma, you know, when we first started playing 2.5 years ago, there was us, and there's a lot of metal and a lot of punk bands. So we really stood out. And then it seems over the last probably year or maybe year, just over a year or so, there's a lot of these bands popping up that are kind of a retro style rock and roll as well, real 70s influenced type rock and roll, and real, you know, that pseudo kind of new, almost country style 70s rock and roll. There's a lot of that coming up now, and, you know, we're part of a scene of a bunch of bands here that are kind of in that same flavor. So if anybody listening up here is into that kind of that feel, that real raw kind of rock and roll, and I think it's maybe backlash to all the, I mean, for me, you know, I listen to rock radio right now, and there's a lot of really compressed, sonically real compressed sounding, real clean sounding rock and roll. And I just, man, I want that raw stuff. I want that AC/DC heavy guitar chords. I want that real Aerosmith kind of feel. And that's kind of what we're shooting for. And we've, you know, got a lot of brothers and sisters up here that are going for that same thing. So it's really kind of a cool place to be right now.
And you said that you started musically doing, you know, church music. Talk about your evolution in music a little bit, personally. How did music begin for you, and, you know, what do you think brought you here?
Well, I tell you what, for me personally, my mother's mother was a lounge singer, and my father's father in his day, and then on through into his later years, was a big band director. Eddie and the Velvet Tones was a big band up here in the Northwest, and he actually led band. They live in Gardner over East Coast, just outside of Boston, and he led bands over there as well. So I think maybe through the bloodline, that I kind of got the best of both worlds from either side. Although neither of my parents were real musical, so I don't know how that worked out. But, I have that in my bloodstream, and then, you know, again, growing up in church, there's a real great gospel tradition and a real great. You know, there's gospel's a part of it, but there's a real kind of a newer style of church music that is real poppy sounding. That's still based in kind of a gospel feel, but real strong, just strong melodies, musicianship that you know, kind of leans away from that real heavy southern gospel sound, and it really is kind of more of a pop lean. And you know, that's my formative years of, you know, really playing, you know, what I was doing in my, you know, mid to late teens and the early 20s. That's what I really, you know, built my repertoire on, was playing that style of music. And, you know, growing up in a church with a lot of musicians, you know, one week, you know, I kind of started out as a drummer because no one played drums, and then, you know, we got a couple guys that were really good, so I'm like, well, let me try something else. So, you know, there's weeks I'd play the piano, and I'm not a pianist by any means, or the organ, but man, I sure could find my way around a key or two, so I'd have fun there. I'd shift over, and, you know, you play guitar another week, maybe the bassist isn't there, so you play bass, and you know, once the stage is full, I'm like, well, shoot, I got a harmonica, maybe I can make some noise on that. So for my personal evolution was, man, pick up whatever's left, and anybody that's listening that knows the terminology of the church, you just make a joyful noise. I mean, just kind of get into whatever you're doing and have fun doing it. So that's kind of where I came from, and always writing songs. I remember being a kid in my, you know, preteen years, just sitting and strumming a guitar and, you know, kind of writing melodies and not really knowing where I was going with them, but kind of, you know, the idea of putting, you know, words of, you know, whether I was upset or, you know, whether I was really happy or, you know, those kind of emotional extremes that lend themselves to songwriting. It was they're kind of always a part of who I was.
Visit the band at their official website, www.skmband.com. From their CD Revival Rock, here is Sweet Kiss Mama once again with Rocket Ride.
I'll take you on a rocket ride. You'll swear you never been so high. Teach you to dance among the stars. Get you away from this life so hard. I'll take you on a super fly. Over the mountains and the countryside. Find you some colorfuls right or wrong. Bring you back round to where you once belong. Frustrate you, I can't relate to. Got a little Jesus in my pocket that I pray to. Well, you can borrow him, place him next to your heart. Mumble a little something anytime you go to mess up. Now, woman, don't cry, this ain't the last time. You're gonna see me, I'll catch you in another time. Remember what you learned, and all things don't concern. Toss all of your worries in a pile out of mountain burn. I'll take you on the rocket ride. You'll swear you've never been so high. Teach you to dance with the moon stars. Get you away from this life so hard. I'll take you on the super fly.
Don't go anywhere. Rockwired Radio Profiles with your host Brian Lush will return in just a moment.
Sometimes I call my
Rockwired.com is pleased to present the Rockwired Artist of the Month, Jane Badler, and her intoxicating forthcoming CD, Tears Again, featuring the band Sir. This time around, Jane gets down and dirty as only the legendary sci-fi vixen can, with a sinewy collection of edgy, witty songs that take the listener on a journey through that disaster area called romantic love. With tracks such as Four Corners, Men Who Lie, and I Don't Trust Women, and the slinky first single, The Wrong People, love and life never sounded more chaotic, or Sure is Sexy. Jane Badler, Tears Again. Rockwired's Artist of the Month. Visit Jane at myspace.com/JaneBadler.
Sometimes I wonder why I just don't.
You're listening to Rockwired Radio Profiles with your host Brian Lush, exclusively at rockwired.com. Musical aptitude since 2005. Welcome back to Rockwired Radio Profiles, exclusively at rockwired.com. I'm your host, Brian Lush, and today we're giving it up for the southern rock sound of Sweet Kiss Mama and their new CD, Revival Rock. I had a chance to speak with Jeff Hamill of Sweet Kiss Mama about the new album, and here's how it went.
Talk about your bandmates. Tell me who they are and what it is you think each of them brings to the table, not just musically, but personality-wise, that makes this thing work.
Absolutely. I think we're a real cohesive unit. Some of us have been playing together for probably, maybe close to 10 years. Again, multiple Sunday services and midweek services, kind of really spending some time together, really, building some camaraderie in what we're playing. And, it starts with Tyson on the drums. He's, certainly the backbeat and probably the weight of the band, both, physically from the drumming standpoint, and then really from the interaction of the band as well. We all kind of make Ty the spoke. We kind of go through him for each other. If there's an issue with two of us, it's usually Ty's going to be the one that's going to smooth it over and say, "All right, guys, let's sit down and hash it out." Even to the point where we practice in his basement. I mean, just kind of he's the center, the spoke of everything. Wade on the plays the rhythm guitar for us, and also does all the high harmonies. If you listen to the album, Wade's an incredible tenor. Grew up a lot of band music. Played a really incredible trumpet player as well. And he's really kind of I don't want to say the comic relief because that minimizes it, but he keeps it light for us. I think Wadeley pretty notoriously is a profuse sweater. So at the end of a show, he likes to get his sloppy madness on everybody and walk around and give everybody a hug just to let them know he was there. So he definitely keeps it light. Aaron Arnold's our guitarist, and I tell you what, for guitar fans, Aaron is he's a treat. I mean, I don't know how else to say it. I mean, if you were to see us live, I think your attention would be hard pressed to pull your attention away from watching Aaron go. Played a lot of metal in his early guitar years. His fingers for the style that we play. Sometimes it's just like, "Aaron, your fingers are smoky now. Slow it down a little bit." But he's just one of those. Just great natural guitar. He's a riff machine. A lot of the music we write, a lot of the riff based stuff is just stuff that Aaron's been playing, and I don't imagine he'll ever run out of riffs. We'll just say, "Hey, pick something up real quick," bam, and off we'll go on some of that. Randy, our guitarist, our bass guitarist, actually came on just as we were getting ready to record the album, and he and Tyson, our drummer, had played together in the past and have been friends since they were kids, and stepped in to play bass for the album and, let us know, "Hey, I'm going to stick around and help you guys support the album," and just let us know. This is, almost a year ago now that we did the actual start of the recording, and he's actually leaving us here at the end of the month, maybe he'll stick around, I think he said, through December. So we really stretched him out, I think, longer than he wanted to go, but just, again, an incredible musician. And you'll hear that when you listen through the album. That bass playing is probably one of the highlights of the album for me.
Explain, if it can be explained, the songwriting process. How do you go about it? Does it change every time? Does it stay the same? Or how does that work?
It really depends on the song. I don't think there's a standard formula for it other than some of them, if I'm writing a song, some of them on the album are just me, and I'll be, sometimes it'll take months and months of playing through it and singing it. Sometimes, like one of the albums, Slow Fade, that people really take to, that literally was written on my back porch on a Saturday afternoon, just hanging out in the sunshine, just being goofy with a guitar, and it still feels the same now as it did, when I wrote it, just kind of a goofy, laid-back song that, it's just about just hanging out. Some of the more, there's a song called Strange Fire that was a really, really tough, just emotionally to write. It just was stuff that, I just was working through. It was hard to get out. And usually, I don't know if, Brian, if you're a songwriter, but it seems to me, in most other songwriters, that it's the negative emotions that are easy to write out. That it's, when you're mad, when you're that's when you really start writing. Well, this particular one, that just wasn't the case. It was like, man, I had this feeling of restlessness, and I just couldn't work through it, and this was kind of my process of writing it out. And that, you know, it just started lyrically, and then the melody came after that. But a lot of times, especially with the faster stuff, more playful stuff, it's Aaron will have a riff, or I'll have a line or something I want to work on, and, you know, the band sits and goes through it together. Outside of lyrics that I do and the melodies that I do, it's, you know, most of the arrangements are done with all of us. We'll bring it out and sit and fight through what we want to do in the, you know, in the practice room, and, you know, everybody gets a chance to get their opinion in there. And I think, you know, most of the time it makes it a stronger song.
And with that being said, what songs off of the album resonate for you the most and why?
Probably just the Strange Fire, definitely one that I mentioned. There's the very last song on the album, and I hate to split the ballads, but I guess that's where I'm coming from. The last song called To Help a Man was another one that was, you know, real, for me personally, real meaningful to write through. And that was actually, I think, the second song we ever wrote. So to have that on the album was a big plus, where a lot of the songs were newer stuff. That was one that we pulled out from way back on there. It was certainly nice. Songs like Mercy Love that are just fun. I don't know if it resonates with me as much as I just really still enjoy the song. It just is real fun. I think for most people that's their favorite song on the album. Outside of maybe Slow Fade gets a lot of love as well, but that one in particular, Mercy Love, I really enjoy. And then probably Son of the Mountain too. It's the second song on the album. That's really a song about being from up here in the Northwest, living in Battle of Mount Rainier. And kind of knowing in the back of our mind that someday it's going to blow again and survive. I mean, literally this afternoon, we live in Puyallup. We live up on what's called South Hill. The air raid sirens were going down the valley today, and we could hear them in the distance, letting people know. They're air raid sirens, but that lets people know in case of emergency that the mountain's going to blow and to get to high land. And there's actually signs heading out all the major roadways going out of Puyallup that says, you know, volcano escape route. So you just follow these signs up to quote unquote safety. So anyway, that's Son of the Mountain is one of those again that's just you know, it's a piece of us up here in the Northwest. It's I don't know if we're like from it's probably, you know, folk music, and that it's, you know, it's our place in our time.
I see. And talk about live shows. I mean, you guys got quite the setup. I mean, how well does it transfer onto a live stage? And, you know, how do people react?
I tell you what, I hate to say this, but I think we're a better live band than we are a recorded band. I just don't know that you can transfer that energy, especially with five guys up on stage, all moving with a real deep, bluesy, throaty kind of, you know, rock and roll going. People get into it. Sometimes I think people are going to lose their minds from just going nuts. But, you know, it's a style of rock and roll that people really, really take to. It's, you know, people call it like, you know, beer drinking, booty shaking music, and that's really what it is. It's danceable. It's your toes are tapping. You know, it lends itself to a good time. So, you know, I think it doesn't lend itself to live. I think it's, you know, our style and our feel for Sweetest Mom right now, I think we're a much more live than the quoted band. So I guess the answer would be yes, it does translate well live.
Okay. And what would you like a person to come away with after they've heard this album?
You know, that's a good question. I'd hope they have a smile on their face. I think it's good time rock and roll. I mean, I don't know how else to describe it other than, you know, we grew up here in the Northwest known for, you know, grunge bands, which were, you know, some of them, a majority of them, I would say, it was darker stuff. It's you know, entire albums about drug addiction and that kind of stuff, and that's just not where we came from, although we love that stuff. I mean, Pearl Jam still to this day is easily my favorite band, but, you know, we just come from a place where, you know, music has a different purpose for us. You know, I like to listen to music to smile. I mean, I like to enjoy what we're doing. And I think if somebody listens through and has a smile on their face, that's great. I've had people tell us, you know, on some of the songs that there's you had a guy come up to me specifically and say, "Man, I know right where you're coming from on that song." Speaking of specifically of Strange Fire, he said, "Man, I spent like 15 years in the penitentiary, and that's exactly what my mindset was." You know, I've never been in prison, but I appreciate that. I appreciate that people grab on to, you know, lyrically and melodically what we're doing. I think, you know, we're not necessarily trying to yank an emotion out of somebody, but, you know, gosh, we're sincere in what we're doing. You know, it's not, we're not writing, you know, fake pop songs. We're not looking to be the next MTV hit band of the week. That just isn't where we are, what we want to do. So I think if people come away and go, you know, think that there's some meaning in what we're doing, we would be, we'd be overjoyed.
Visit the band at their official website, skmband.com. From the album Revival Rock, here is Sweet Kiss Mama once more with Sweet Little Thing. Going to do it for this edition of Rockwired Radio Profiles. A special thanks goes out to Jeff Hamill of Sweet Kiss Mama and to Rhonda Brilliant of Rainmaker Media Group. Visit the band at their official website, www.skmband.com. For Rockwired, I'm Brian Lush. Remember, keep your eyes forward, never look back, and make it up as you go. Rockwired Radio Profiles is a production of Rockwired Media, LLC. a limited liability company, and is available exclusively at rockwired.com. Musical aptitude since 2005.
Hard times are behind us, but let's not be alone. And the bottom line, and this is mine, damn it, we both got a phone. I've been high, but mostly low. A lifelong lodger on a dead end road. But I'd like mine to shine like gold. The dark.